following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
At the Fram Proving Grounds, we impose harsh punishment on Fram filters. We explode them, we pound them, we crush them. But we don't do it because we've got a mean streak. We do it to make sure they can take the road's punishment and still help protect your engine. Like Fram Extra Guard, built to protect three times better than average economy filters. So don't unfairly punish your car with a cheaper filter. Give it tested, proven Fram Extra Guard. Fram, don't fail your engine. See serious punishment at Fram.com.
Remember Dad helping you catch your first fish? And when your favorite show was him trying to assemble the family tent? Then tell him he's special with great Father's Day gifts from Bass Pro Shops. Like Under Armour Tech t-shirts for under $23. And the new Lowrance Elite 4X Color Fish Finder for under $170. Plus, don't miss the opening weekend of Family Summer Camp. With lots of kids' activities, crafts, and fishing at our catch and release pond. All for free. Find out more at BassPro.com/camp.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's only local sports call-in show, featuring award-winning sports director Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis. Guests include local and regional sports figures, everyone from Big Ten head coaches and athletes to the top D2 NAIA and high school coaches and athletes. They analyze all sports from pro football to junior hockey. Join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line toll-free at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776. Email the Den Popper inbox at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Send us a tweet at ESPN1460-1550. Or send us a Facebook comment, facebook.com/ESPN Superstation. Let's head to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this very, very busy Thursday. Coming up, we're going to be talking college baseball with LSU's Ben Love. By the way, assistant coach at Stony Brook with Damon Day at Dana College. Assistant coach at Stony Brook. Is there. So we're going to talk with Ben Love. Also, the story this morning locally, Jeff Dittman has stepped down as the head women's basketball coach at Hastings College. So we'll be chatting with him. We'll talk with Brad Vering, getting ready to go into the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association Hall of Fame at the end of the program. And Jordan Rinaldi's at RFA3. We're going to talk a little MMA with him at the bottom of the hour. But one of them come back last night in the NBA. That's what we've been talking about quite a bit here lately. And the Oklahoma City Thunder are in the finals. Wait a minute, what does that mean?
That's a lunch for Doug.
Woo!
Lunch for Doug.
Never see it, but hey, at least it is a victory.
Well, it negates the NHL one, so.
Whatever. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We'll give you a chance to win Nebraska Danger tickets later on in the program as well, their final home game Saturday against the Beef. If you have a question or a thought or a comment for any of our guests, please email us to the Dent Popper inbox. We'll pass along as many as we can. And the Dent Popper inbox address, Doug and, you spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Doug, great comeback. It was your third quarter last night because they're down by 15. They closed that to about 4, I believe, at the end of the or start of the fourth quarter.
Took the lead.
At the end of right
they
there?
They took the lead in the third quarter. May not had it to start the fourth quarter.
Okay. But to come back like that, come out of the halftime and do what they did, but to get the home crowd and totally a different, you know, it's a tough place to play. And NBA basketball in Oklahoma City has become a big, big thing. And I know out on the West Coast, they cringe when they hear that because they wanted a championship too. But Oklahoma City supports that team as well as anybody does out there. It is a crazy environment. Now we'll see, can the Celtics knock off the Heat in what should be another great game. All these games coming down to the wire. Last night, the Spurs had 2 3-pointers in the last minute and a half. They had 2 times to cut it from 4-1 and couldn't do it. And that was the end. If either one of those shots go, I think the Spurs, obviously, down the stretch, would have had at least a chance to tie or hit a 3 for the win. Never could do that. I thought those guys, they were used to just, you saw them make so many clutch shots. For them to lose 3 games in a row is just amazing down the stretch.
And again, Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final is tonight here on ESPN Radio. Pregame at 6:30, tip-off just after 7:30. Boston at home against Miami, and should be a great game. Most of the games in this series have been good and very competitive and right down to the wire. And again, I just, even in the last 2 days, I don't know if people have started to, if they just do it to dig at me or if they're just saying it anyway, I cannot believe how many anti-Miami Heat. They're not pro-Boston Celtic. They're anti-Miami. Miami favored by 2 at Boston tonight.
That shows you the urgency. The Heat feel it. The Heat feel it. But right now, as we're 1 week away, basically, from the start of the College World Series, we are pleased to be joined by Ben Love from Tiger Rag Magazine and TigerRag.com. Ben, how are you this morning? Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I can promise you we're feeling the heat down here, too. It's definitely warming up for Super Regional time.
I tell you what, this is when we start to spell go a little bit different in Nebraska and go Tigers and... You know, the story, I guess, Ben, obviously, is not LSU. It's Stony Brook. You guys are going to be the most overwhelming favorite of any of the super regional teams that are going in here. Of course, the number 7 national seed. But what can you tell us about Stony Brook and how does the coaching staff and how does everybody go, well, we can't just take these guys for granted because they're here. I mean, there must be a reason Stony Brook, I mean, they go out, number 1 pitcher, stifles Miami in the regionals. They must have a little something.
They've got a lot, and I think that it's what's most interesting is that there are, I believe, 6 players combined on LSU and Stony Brook's teams that play with each other in the Cape Cod League this summer. So there's some familiarity from summer ball, a lot of respect there. The catcher from Stony Brook, who was taken, I believe, in the 4th round, Cantwell, he was a guy who caught Ryan Eads, an LSU pitcher. So very familiar with one another. They know some of these guys. Jankowski, the fantastic shortstop for Stony Brook, who was taken in the 2nd round of the draft. And, you know, if you look at it that way, it's interesting that Stony Brook, I believe, had 7 players drafted in the draft this last couple of days. LSU had 4. So Major League scouts are definitely, respectful for what Stony Brook brings to the table. You mentioned what they did in Coral Gables. Their top pitcher, Tyler Johnson, just mows people down. He threw over 100 pitches Friday and on Monday to help get them through. So I think there's some respect from the LSU side because they know a lot of these guys, because they saw what they did to Central Florida, spanking Miami in that opening game. So, they've earned their stripes talking about Stony Brook. And it takes something to get 50 wins, even if it's in the American East Conference. That's quite a feat. So the LSU players last few days have definitely been a little deferential when talking about them, saying that this isn't a cake opponent, or we don't see them as a 4 seed that happened to get through. They earned their way through, and they've earned their way to Baton Rouge.
American East Conference, folks. Did you hear that? Because I think he just answered a trivia question that was coming later in the show, because I had absolutely no idea. Take us through game day. LSU baseball, one of the most storied programs. Even go back, I think you throw it with Cal State Fullerton, with USC, with Texas, Florida State certainly up there. With the storied program, for this regional and super regional, is it crazy before games? Is it the party atmosphere that people from Omaha expect when they get to Omaha?
It is. And when you think of LSU football, this is the same thing, but they do it in the springtime. And it's just people come out and they get the deep fryers rolling, and they got the gumbo, the jambalaya. They're there well in advance. And to be honest with you, I think that's why a lot of fans are a little upset with the time slots that LSU and Stony Brook drew, because This tells you that Stony Brook is not an attractive TV option for ESPN. But the game this weekend will be Friday at 11 a.m. Think about that. Friday at 11 a.m. for the nation's leader in attendance. I don't think that's a good reward for the fans. But Friday at 11, Saturday at 11, and Sunday, if they get to a 3rd game, will be at noon. So that is something to monitor if you're out there and watching LSU from afar, is how are these games going to be played earlier in the day. So I don't think Friday you'll have the crowd that you saw in the regional play. But when LSU and Oregon State played on Saturday night at Alex Box Stadium, they set a new attendance record. It was about 10,600. So you're talking about a lot of fans that when you let them play at night, they get out there and they get lubricated. There's no question, and they have fun, and it's a heck of an environment.
Yeah, and Stony Brook in New York, I guess even that number one TV mark in the nation, not good enough to give LSU some nighttime games. But we're talking with Ben Love of TigerRag.com. Just looking at some LSU stats, you guys have two pitchers that you don't even have to worry about putting out there, especially in a short series such as this on Friday and Saturday. But I don't remember the last time I looked at an LSU offense that was hitting under 300, and I know some of that has to do with the new bats here recently, but you still got a kid that's hitting 452. Tell us about Raph Rimes, is that correct?
Raph Rimes, and let me tell you, I'll tell you the most impressive thing about Raph Rimes to start. One of the nation's leading hitters, is going to be a pretty unanimous, I think, SEC Player of the Year. This guy has played the entire season without the benefit of a scholarship. How about this story I'm about to tell you? Last year on draft day, he was selected at a spot that wasn't good enough where he thought. So he went into Coach Maneri's office, and he told him, Coach, not only am I coming back, but I want you to take my scholarship, and I want you to use it to help the team because I can afford to pay my way through. I'll be a pro one day. I'm not worried about it. So that tells you the kind of kid that Raph Rimes is. But he hasn't had as good of a a regional run, an SEC tournament run, as he was as good as his regular season was. So I don't know if he's in a slump now, but he's just a singles hitting machine, and he's a kid that never gets tired of hitting singles. Doesn't matter if there's anybody on base. Doesn't matter two outs. He'll go the other way at will, so he's a very versatile hitter for LSU. But you're right, this isn't these aren't the gorilla ball teams that people in Omaha saw in the mid to late 90s. It's a different type of team. They're coached by a different guy, Paul Maneri, and with the bat changes, I think he's kind of tailored his team and recruited it to reflect that. He's trying to bring a little more speed into the equation. There aren't the big ballers you think of with Eddie Furness at LSU. There's no more Brandon Larson's hitting 420 feet home runs in Rosenblatt. So it's a different team, and they definitely go station to station baseball, and their top hitter, at least at this point, is Raph Rimes.
420 foot home runs. Warren Morris only hit it 320.
Oh, good memories from Rosenblatt. Is there a feeling down there? They haven't been to the new ballpark in the new Rosenblatt, the Omaha College World Series experience. Do they? Obviously, they're excited because it's College World Series, but the new ballpark. Do they talk about that at all?
They're absolutely yearning for it. They can't wait to get back. 2009, LSU won the College World Series over Texas, and ever since then, it's kind of been like a drought. And you know what's funny is that the football team has been about as good as LSU football has ever been, 24 wins combined the last two seasons. But I think that's kind of the vacancy and the void that LSU fans want to fill, because going to Omaha and being a part of the action at Barry Farley's Corn and all the bars down there and just going to see people that appreciate baseball as much as they do, that's all they live for. And I know a number of fans around here that they'll tell you, yeah, football is what pays the bills at LSU, but baseball is what gets me most excited. So they definitely want to be at the new stadium. I don't think a lot of fans are overlooking Stony Brook, but I'd be lying if I told you there weren't a lot of reservations already made and people looking for it and holidays planned at the office next week and a half. So people here definitely want it, and if they get past this weekend, they'll get their wish.
Well, I know Nebraska fans will buy Stony Brook hats if they get here, but they want to see LSU. There's no doubt about it. Just another minute here with Ben Love of TigerRag.com.
Well, you know what? The food will be better if LSU comes, but the story will be better if Stony Brook comes.
Ain't no doubt, and I know what Big Daddy is rooting for. Hey, Ben, wasn't the greatest SEC tournament for LSU. What was the feeling coming out of the conference tournament where Mississippi State clipped them a couple of times?
You know, it's a good question. I contend that they didn't go into that thing really caring how much they won it. I know that sounds kind of contrary, but LSU had wrapped up the regular season SEC title, taking two out of three at South Carolina. The way they approached that tournament in the first game against Ole Miss, it was LSU pitched Aaron Nola, their All-American freshman, and they let him go two innings. And then Paul Maneri went by committee. That's the way Maneri did the midweek games all year. So I looked at that and I said, well, I don't think they're putting a lot of stock in winning this first game. And sure enough, they did. They ended up getting beat by a run late, and they put themselves in a hole after they threw Kevin Gausman to get the win the next day. They came back against Mississippi State and got a decent pitching performance from Ryan Eads, who's been a little suspect lately. but not good enough to get them a win. So, the way I looked at it is, I think they wanted to save up and get ready for postseason play. The problem was Nick Goody, the closer, is who gave up that lead against Mississippi State. So the feeling leaving the SEC tournament was, okay, are we good at the bullpen? Perceived strength all season. And Goody answered some of those questions by throwing two scoreless innings in the regionals, five strikeouts against six batters he faced. So I think all those questions are being answered.
Gausman, 2.72 ERA. He's 11-1. He's won 115 innings this year. Eades has went 91 innings. They've both given up 100 hits. We touched on it just a little bit. Obviously, they're going to be the Friday and Saturday starters. Tell us a little more about those two and the 1-2 punch that the Tigers have.
Well, actually, I think there's a lot better chance that Aaron Nola, the freshman, and Kevin Gausman are going to be your two guys. Maneri still hasn't announced how he wants to use them. I think it's going to depend a lot on when Stony Brook decides to pitch Tyler Johnson. That's their stud horse who threw, like I said, the two 100-plus pitch games on Friday and Monday. So he's a guy that's obviously needs a little rest. So if Stony Brook pitches Tyler Johnson on Friday, you expect Kevin Gausman, the fourth overall pick in the draft, to go Friday. But something tells me if they're going to rest him, Maneri's going to let the true freshman, Aaron Nola, go out on Friday. He's been their second-best pitcher the majority of the season since they moved him from the bullpen up to the starting rotation. So I would look for, wherever Tyler Johnson is, that's where you're going to find Gausman. But I think there's a heck of a case to be made for throwing Gausman on Saturday, because then he's either in an elimination game or he's in a closeout game. In either case, I want Kevin Gausman.
Well, Gausman went right before the Royals were going to select him. I think he was high on their board. They went with Kyle Zimmer, the big pitcher out of San Francisco University. I think had he fallen one more spot, he would have been one of our Kansas City Royals that we're affiliate of and huge fan of.
You know, what's funny is that I actually know the guy who covers the Louisiana-Mississippi area scouting-wise for the Kansas City Royals, and I talked to him about a week before the draft, and that's what he said. He said, I want this guy bad. We go into our meetings with the whole organization, all the scouts from all over the country and all over the world. You got to plead your case for this guy. And he felt that he had pled his case that if Gausman was there at five, that they were going to take him. So I know that he was a little distraught, happy with what the Royals got, but definitely Gausman, I think, was tops on their board.
We'll let you out of here with this, Ben. I'm just looking at LSU's schedule, 2-1 against number one Florida. You swept Arkansas this year. South Carolina, you took 2 out of 3 from them. There's still four SEC schools that are playing baseball. Do you think LSU has a good chance of be playing in the finals? Not just getting past Stony Brook, but maybe getting into the championship?
I think they do because of pitching, and that's the biggest reason. You hit it on the head earlier when you said this isn't a 300 batting average team. They're not a wrecking ball of home runs and RBIs anymore. So they're not going to overwhelm you with their offense, and they've been somewhat inconsistent there. But what gets LSU through is starting pitching, is Chris Cotton bridging the way to Nick Goody in the bullpen. And they've got a guy, Kirk McCune, last year was a freshman American starting pitcher. They demoted him to the bullpen because Aaron Nola was pitching that well. So you got a guy that you even trust to throw major innings if you have to go and get a guy early in for McCune. So I think pitching is what's going to kind of punch LSU's meal ticket. I would be surprised if they weren't in the winner's bracket at Omaha. I don't know if they'll get to that final series or not, but they have enough pitching and elite pitching to get them past the first couple of games, I think. Once it gets past that, you may have to rely on a Ryan Heath start. And he's been a little hitter better late in the season, but they went through a stretch in the middle of the season where they didn't win one of his Saturday starts for about 3 weeks. So I think starting pitching at and then the last guys that closed the game out, especially Nick Goody, who was an early-round draft pick of the New York Yankees, going to get them a good way. I don't know if it's to the final, but they have a good shot at anybody in my mind.
Ben, we appreciate the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and you made one mistake. We've got your phone number.
Well, hey, call it any time. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, hope to see you in Omaha, Ben. Thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, guys.
Ben Love from TigerRag.com on Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio, playing Stony Brook at the Super Regionals this weekend. All of our guests taken care of by our friends at BK. If you're looking for lunch on the lighter side, try their chicken, apple, and cranberry garden fresh salad with all the yummies and a little crumbly blue cheese on top. It's at Burger King, two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. When we come back, Jeff Dittman has stepped down as the head women's basketball coach at Hastings. We'll chat with him after this.
Hey, Goldick, is that a new phone?
Yeah, Greeny, you like it?
You do realize it's a smartphone, right?
Ah, yeah. Ha ha. Very funny. But check this out. With La Quinta's new instant hold feature, I can hold a room on my smartphone for up to 4 hours in advance.
That's convenient.
So, even if I'm out on the road, I can call an audible.
So how's that work?
Here you go. Just punch in your phone number. La Quinta's mobile site keeps me on top of my game. It's easy.
But you don't know your phone number.
Dude, I never call myself.
La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of you so you can take care of business.
Instant hold your next stay at LQ.com.
Every day, businesses lose critical customer and financial data as a result of cybercrimes, human errors, and natural disasters. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Barracuda Backup Service combines local backup and deduplication for rapid restores with data storage in the cloud for fail-safe disaster recovery. Protect your critical data. Visit barracuda.com/backup to try Barracuda Backup Service free for 30 days. That's barracuda.com/backup.
The third jewel of racing's Triple Crown is the Belmont Stakes, and you can hear it right here on HRRN.
I'll Have Another takes the lead in the Derby and up the line. I'll Have Another wins the Derby.
I'll Have Another, Bowie Meister, photo finish. I'll Have Another in the Preakness.
I'll Have Another looks to make Triple Crown history. We'll bring you total coverage live from Belmont Park, Saturday, June 9th, beginning at 4 p.m. on HRRN.
Resurrection Fighting is back in Kearney, June 30th. And the Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation Hy-Vee Rewards Club is where you can buy a pair of tickets by using your accumulated Superfan points. Remember, every day you log into ESPNSuperstation.com, you get 10 bonus points, then more, for entering keywords, taking surveys, and answering trivia. And there's more. Royals tickets, Doug and Daddy t-shirts, Indian Head green fees, sleeves of golf balls, day passes to Kearney Raceway Park. And while you're at it, join Mobile Rewards by texting IBGI to 90210.
We'll see partial sun and some cloudiness affect the area through the day today with a high around to 88 with southeast winds increasing to 12 to 25. Tonight's skies stay partly cloudy with a low near 64. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 75.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Former Husker and Olympian Brad Ferring coming up in our next hour. We're going to talk a little MMA RFA 3. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be chatting with Jordan Rinaldi. We've got some danger ticks to give away. And in just a moment, Jeff Dittman's going to join us from Hastings. Whether it's Hastings, Alliance, Holdridge, Kearney, Bruce Furniture is just right for you.
Plus, starting today, the big plus sale going on at Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering. 5 days only. Starts today, folks. They've got great specials going on day and night. As long as they're open, you go, no buying mistake. If you first choose a mattress that's just too hard or too soft for you, they'll exchange it for the one that's just right for you. That's what they do. We're talking that Serta Perfect Sleeper Firm. $798. They've got a sale. It goes all the way down. They start at $618. Serta, we make the world's best mattress, and they've got them at Bruce Furniture. 25-year warranty, in-home 120-day risk-free trial. Try Bruce Furniture today. 5 days only. Begins today. Goes on all the way through the weekend. Check it out. Bruce Furniture is just right for you. I sleep on the I-Series, intelligent comfort, individual support. That's what I have. Why wouldn't you get it as well? Bruce Furniture.
Doug and Danny's show joined now by Jeff Dittman, who stepped down this morning as the head women's basketball coach at Hastings College for a very good reason. Returning to Dakota State, he is going to serve as their athletic director and head women's basketball coach. And although I was looking between the lines here, this story that I have in front of me says that the contract is for 8 years, $72 million. Jeff Dittman joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Jeff.
Wow, if that was true, I would have feel a lot better this morning than I do. $87 million, that would take care of some things.
Could have hired his own women's basketball coach.
There you go.
We won't lose very long, I'll say that. We'll have a great scholarship program.
Jeffrey, obviously when you make moves, sometimes it's a little easier to go back home. Talk about when you found out this was in the loop and the decision process here.
Well, it actually came about rather quickly. We my wife and I grew up in the Dakota State University realm, so to speak. She got her undergraduate, master's, and her doctoral degree there, and just finished that. And a few weeks ago, they called and talked an offer of the athletic director, the women's basketball position, and a full-time teaching position for Dawn. So from a career standpoint, it was a good opportunity for both of us.
Coach, obviously not a fun decision because you like Hastings. You've got the program in good shape where you're at. How difficult was it when the phone call came?
You know, it really was tough, and to be honest with you, the first time that I visited with Dr. Borofsky, I really told him that I wasn't very interested in it. But as some things happened, and we have have an illness in a family member that's close to Madison, so that was a part of our decision-making process as well. Just a lot of things came together to fit very well and allow us an opportunity to both of us have jobs while we're able to be nearer our family members. It really was a tough decision, though, because I really like the team that I have now and that we will have here at Hastings for the next 4 years. I think we've had some very solid recruiting classes back to back to back. We made some great steps forward last year. We took our lumps a year ago with a very young team, and in the GPAC you're really not allowed to escape with being young and inexperienced without paying a price. But last year we made some steps forward. We got back to the national tournament. We, got into a top 15th ranking. And so I felt great about the team that we had coming back.
Jeff Dittman is with us. He is going to be the athletic director and return to Dakota State as the women's basketball coach. Obviously, there's a new athletic director at Hastings College. When change is made, sometimes it makes it easier to rip the Band-Aid off. You have no relationship, I assume, with Jerry. Was that any factor in making this decision?
No, it really wasn't, because Jerry comes from Morningside, and they've been extremely successful at Morningside. I spoke to Jamie Sales about the situation as we learned about it, and Jamie had nothing but great things to say. So that was just not a factor at all. It really came down to both a professional decision for my wife and I and for a personal decision with our family.
You follow Tony. I think he probably put in a good word for getting you there. As far as replacing you at Hastings College, do you want to be involved in that process, or do you have thoughts on that, or you just turn that over to them?
You know, I don't at this point. I know Jerry, when we had our first visit, unfortunately, Jerry came to work on Friday, and I was telling him on Monday morning that I would be leaving, so we didn't get a chance to really develop any kind of a relationship. But he asked me if I had any recommendations for the position, and my belief is that Hastings facility, Hastings community, the environment that you have here for women's basketball and the tradition, it's going to sell itself, and you're going to get a great number of applicants who apply, the program won't miss a beat no matter what happens.
Jeff Dittman with us for just another minute here, returning to Dakota State as their athletic director and women's basketball coach. That's going to be taxing on your time. What's the state of the athletic department at Madison?
Well, we have a lot of work to do. From a basketball standpoint, they haven't won 10 games in the last couple of years, so we've got some work to do there to get it back to a nationally recognized program. In the athletic department itself, we've got some facility issues, we've got some scholarship issues. The good news is that public schools are on the rise now with enrollment, and that creates money available to the athletic department. But one of the interesting things that's different with public schools is that every scholarship dollar has to be raised. It's not a bookkeeping situation to where you can use this to cancel this or anything else. It has to be raised. It has to be in hard dollars. So that's our challenge there, is to get on a scholarship level that's equal with the GPAC, because we place so many of the GPAC schools on the schedules of every sport.
You made the decision, but then I'm assuming you had to call your players and tell them.
Yes, I did. It was a very hard phone call with each one of them. Each was pretty much followed with quite a few moments of silence, And then that was generally followed with a text message about 10 minutes later saying, I was in a little shock, sorry that I wasn't more responsive. Call me back in a day or two after I've had a chance to process it a little bit. And then we did. We had a number of conversations where we talked about the good times and what the future holds, talked about what Hastings would do with their process to get a new coach. I feel like we've got a great relationship with the players on our team, and they understand the decision that we made for our family, and so we're all wishing each other the best.
Well, obviously, Jeff, we'll let you out of here. You touched on it a little bit. You like where the basketball program is. Obviously, you lost an All-American last year, but that's about it. How successful do you think, no matter who takes this over, how successful do you think this program will be next year?
Well, I don't want to put any pressure on the next coach.
We're going to put pressure on him.
By making big statements. But I'll say this. When I took the program over, Tony left me a very strong program that had a number of great juniors in the program. So it allowed me to really get started with my recruiting base and developing my recruiting base in those 2 years. And I feel like with the recruiting that we've gotten done in the last 3 years, that the next person in will have the same opportunity to win ball games, to be competitive nationally while they're building their own recruiting base.
Well, Jeff, it was a pleasure working with you in your tenure here at Hastings College, and I'm sure if Dakota State and Hastings College happen to cross paths again, we'll get a chance to talk to you. We wish you the best of luck up at Dakota State, and again, thanks as always for all of your time here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, I appreciate it, and I really want to thank all of the Hastings community and the Hastings College faculty and staff for everything they've done for me and my family and for my program, and we're really going to miss everyone a lot.
Jeff, thanks so much. Class act. Congratulations. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
That's Jeff Dittman. He has been the head women's basketball coach the last 4 years at Hastings College. During his tenure at Hastings College, the Lady Broncos had a record of 92-41. They were the national runner-up in 2009, got back to the tournament this past year, and it's now time to move back on to Dakota State University.
Yeah, I think some shocking news, because you just expect things are on the rise, everything's going great, and then all of a sudden a wrench is thrown in. And like you said, he meets the new athletic director on Friday, and 3 days later, go over the weekend, he's telling him he's gone. So we got a little work to do. But like you said, the number of applicants for that job is going to be huge, and there's going to be some great quality applicants in those.
Hey, folks, don't forget to vote on our ESPN Superstation poll question daily. Yesterday it was the Shrine Bowl, no longer going to be played at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Where should the game be hosted? Shockingly, 63% of you said Kearney. Why not? 22% Hastings. And then Omaha, Lincoln, and elsewhere on down the road. Here's the one thing as I thought more and more about this. This Shrine game, Daddy, will never be held outside of Omaha or Lincoln. It never will. One basic reason, the visit to the hospital. You have to have an airport and facilities to get these kids, and a 19-passenger plane out of Kearney just isn't going to cut it. It'll be in Omaha or Lincoln for that factor.
Yeah, I certainly think so. No one wants to. No, I think that for the kids, they want to play it in Lincoln and Omaha too.
Well, we're past that, though. State volleyball is in Grand Island now, and a variety of other things are out-state cross-country here. I think we're past that a little bit. Every kid now, when I was growing up, it was a big deal to go to Lincoln, see the Capitol. That's not a big deal anymore. You go there on a weekend. Our poll question today, if you were a Seattle sports fan, would you be rooting for or against the Thunder? Remember, Seattle folded the Sonics, and that is the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's the same organization, only in Oklahoma City. Would you be rooting for them or against them, Daddy?
Against them. They took your team. You hate those guys.
If you liked Kevin Durant and some of the guys that were on the team in Seattle, I'd like them now. I'd be rooting for them, because that's the kind of person I am. Hy-Vee Rewards Fan Club, get you some points every time you vote on our poll question. Do it now. And right now, we're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we're going to talk with Jordan Rinaldi, RFA 3, coming up at the Fiero Event Center at the end of the month. He'll be there. Also, Brad Vering, Olympic wrestler, going into the Hall of Fame for the Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association. But right now, let's give you a chance to win some Nebraska Danger tickets if you want to go to Saturday night's home game against the Omaha Beef and you haven't won anything this week on the show. Here's your chance, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. I believe that there are a couple of sets of tickets back there that Jeff's going to get rid of, maybe even three sets of tickets, so just keep calling in. Which NFL team will appear on HBO's special Hard Knocks this season? Which NFL team will appear on HBO's Hard Knocks this season? You know the answer. You get the tickets back after this.
Want to get Dad fired up for Father's Day? Stop by Lowe's and pick up a new Char Griller Duo Gas and Charcoal Grill for only $249. That's a saving of $50. Or choose 12 months special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Plus, get 10% off major appliances priced $299 or more. You'll always find the perfect Father's Day gift at Lowe's. Lowe's, never stop improving. Appliance offer valid through June 13th. All other valid through June 11th. Special financing cannot be combined with 5% off everyday credit offer. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You can't see me, but I'm wearing a 10-gallon hat and holding a 5-gallon bucket. Just hurry into any Napa Auto Parts store and get a free Napa 5-gallon wash bucket with a $25 purchase. Use it for washing old Betsy or even as a tool chest. I mean, tool bucket. 5 gallons hold so much and cost so little. Like nothing, because it's free. Who needs a bucket of chicken when you can just have a bucket? Napa, no. Offer expires 6/30/12. See participating Napa Auto Parts store for details.
So, it was a Friday night. One of my buddies won a play pool, the other one to go grab a bite to eat, and me, well, I just wanted a cold beer and some good entertainment. So to keep everyone happy, we went to Cunningham's Journal. It's like three places in one. Upstairs is the loft where you can play pool and listen to some good tunes. Outside is the courtyard where they have live entertainment every week. And inside, there are a bajillion TV screens with all the games any sports fan can handle. Great food and, of course, the coldest beer in town. So problem solved. Everyone's happy. Thanks to Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Losing an irrigation system this summer could be costly. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, they offer replacement cost coverage for center pivot irrigation systems on qualifying units. Replacement cost coverage allows you to purchase a new system or parts, subject to policy provisions and reducing the need to search for outdated parts or to wait for used systems to become available. To learn more, contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see partial sun and some cloudiness affect the area through the day today with a high around 88 with southeast winds increasing to 12 to 25. Tonight's skies stay partly cloudy with a low near 64. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 75.
Oh, we got rid of some Nebraska Danger tickets. The Miami Dolphins are the team that are going to be on HBO's Hard Knocks. Who we got, Jeff?
We've got my list. Rob, Josh, and John.
All right, they're all headed to the Nebraska Danger. Be paying attention to our Facebook page for some more giveaways later today. Jeff's always sneaky when he puts that on there. And to be a member of our Facebook or be a member of a group, Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation, like us on Facebook. We'll keep you up to date on the guests on the show. If you missed it, what's on the podcast from the previous day, giveaways, and a whole lot more. Here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, always busy for you. With a ton, again, I give these guys, I like to rib them a little bit because I say, good Lord, what are all these Midway vehicles driving around? They're all in transit. They're moving vehicles, people. They're moving them. They're Midway plates. You see them everywhere. Why? Because they're no hassle, Great deal, great value. Doesn't take you a long time to make that purchase. They've got financing for you. They have got thinkmidway.com where you can get online and look at the vehicles on their lots. Maybe you want something special. They'll go out. They'll get it for you. And even if you have not purchased from the Midway Auto Dealership before, they're going to take care of your vehicle. They'll take your trade-in as well. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. They're there for you. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Right now, Doug, coming up June 30th, Viero Events Center, we have RFA 3 coming to town, the headlined by Dakota Cochran and Joe Daddy Stevenson, fighting, though, out of North Carolina versus Mark Dickman. He is undefeated, and he joins us right now. Jordan Rinaldi out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Jordan, how are you this morning? Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you all doing?
Well,
I love it.
We love the little tinge in the voice. We like to have North Carolina. I think the last North Carolina guy we had on was J.B. Mooney.
J.B. Mooney.
Bull riders and fighters kind of have that same mentality. I think you're both nuts.
Some say that.
What got you into the sport?
What got me in the sport was just trying to stay in shape, actually. One of the guys I used to work with, he brought me in here to jiu-jitsu class because I hadn't been wrestling for 2 or 3 years after high school, so needed something else to keep me in shape and stop me from getting fat. So I started that, and that's how it all started.
Everyone has a discipline, Jordan. Where is yours? Are you a puncher? Are you a wrestler? Are you a defensive guy? Where is your strength?
My biggest strength is definitely my jiu-jitsu. I've been practicing that for the last 6 years, along with my wrestling. My wrestling's pretty good, and especially for the fighting style, I'm pretty good wrestling for MMA. It's not the greatest folk style or freestyle or anything like that, but for MMA, it's pretty effective.
What does Jordan Rinaldi weigh today?
Oh, you're putting me on the hot seat, man.
Yeah, well, we want to know. You're fighting 150. Do you have to drop a bunch of weight before the fight, or are you within striking distance right now?
I could get there in the next 2 days if I wanted to, but I'm a little over 160 right now.
Oh, nothing wrong with that. Obviously,
not looking, bad at all.
Looking at your pro bouts, looks like you like to submit people if you can end the fight early, and that's everybody wants to do that. You consider yourself a submission specialist or not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I what sets up my submissions, though, is usually the strikes. Most of my submissions come after I rock a person or get them in a bad scramble or something like that. So it's a little deceiving seeing my record, mostly submissions, because a lot of the submissions come from my punches also. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Jordan Rinaldi joining us. He's going to be at RFA 3 fighting Mark Dickman on June 30th. That's his next bout. What can you tell us about your opponent and his style?
Well, there's not too much video on the man. I know that he's a very good wrestler. I expect him to be a very good wrestler. He might take me down a few times. I'm not afraid of that too much, but he's very well rounded, it seems. His striking looks pretty decent. His ground game, his submissions actually look pretty good too, his transitions and everything on the ground. But for the most part, he's a wrestler, undefeated, 5-0 also. So all I know is it's going to be a good fight. He looks pretty tough, so I am a huge step up in competition, in my opinion, than what he's been fighting. I mean, in his own words, he's been fighting tomato cans, so I mean, it's a big step up in competition for him.
How does one from North Carolina get associated with RFA here in the middle of Nebraska?
Oh, that's my brother. My brother Joseph. He sets up everything, and I mean, all the bigger events are on the western or in the Midwest and stuff like that, or in the west of the U.S. So, trying to get out to the West Coast more often now that I've been fighting in Vegas, and I want to just get over there, stay over there as much as possible, because that's where the money is, that's where the bigger exposure is and everything.
We're talking with Jordan Rinaldi here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, getting ready for RFA 3 at the end of the month. Most of the guys are telling us this is their full-time job. Is that the same case for you?
It is now. After the Ultimate Fighter, my brother said, "You're training full-time now." He won't let me get a job, actually. So this is my full-time job now. It's a very nice blessing to be able to do what I love for a living, you know.
We had James Krause on. He was part of the Ultimate Fighter. Take us through that experience and what it was like for you, Jordan.
It was great. I mean, it was very nerve-wracking. It's a lot of pressure. We were in a hotel room for, I think it was 10 days straight. We only got to leave about two times a day from our hotel room, and it was pretty nerve-wracking just thinking about the fights and everything, and it was a good blessing, a pressure cooker for sure, but you got to meet a lot of people out there, you got to make a lot of networks, you know, so it was very nice, and I appreciate all that they gave to us and all that they let us do on the show.
Talking with Jordan Rinaldi. Jordan, I've always, as I'm kind of new to the sport, I've admired the respect that the fighters seem, for the most part, to constantly and consistently have for each other. You're in a spot here where, in a short amount of time, you get to know some guys, then all of a sudden, you got to fight these guys that you know. Now, they're not your best friends, but still, that still has to be a little strange. Is that strange?
Oh, yeah. The respect is always there, but, you know, unless it's a full-time training partner of mine, I'm up to fight anybody, but there has been people who have posed fights to people who I have actually trained with or who that I know that were out there for the show and everything like that, so it's a little strange, but I mean, at the same time, it's part of the job. You know, football players, basketball players, they get traded and they have to play their old teammates all the time, so I mean, it's just part of the sport.
You sound very confident. You feel the sky's the limit in the sport for you?
Sir?
Sure.
No, I said sir. I didn't understand what you said.
Oh, I said, do you think the sky's the limit? You sound very confident in your abilities in this sport.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been blessed with a great team. I've been blessed with a lot of talent. And, you know, I have the right people around me. And with those factors, you know, I think I can go very far in this sport. I love it. And I just have a lot of blessings in it, so I think I can make it very, very far in the sport. That's why I'm putting so much into it.
3 weeks and 2 days away, you want to guarantee a win?
Nothing's guaranteed in this sport, but I have a strong feeling I'm going to walk out of that cage for the winner.
Well, Jordan, we appreciate you giving us some time. We'll see you in Kearney at the end of the month. Good luck in RFA 3 and all your bouts beyond that. Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All right, I appreciate it. An awesome name for the show. I love it.
Take care, buddy. Hopefully we can have him on again when he is a huge superstar. Jordan Rinaldi joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
A lot of fun. 5-0 versus 5-0. Fight 10 on the card. Jordan Rinaldi will take on Mark Dickman out of Las Vegas. So it should be one of the better fights tonight. We're looking forward to it, and we're looking for all the action on RFA 3.
Hey, this weekend it's the 11th annual Faces Rally. It begins tomorrow and runs through Sunday in Upland, an organization for children and young adults with facial birth defects, giving $1,000 in cash divided into three fun run winners. Friday night, they've got the pedal car races. Kids, you get your trophies, your prizes. The Mayor's Choice Show and Shine is Saturday morning. The bike games, a lot of fun with that. Great bands lined up every night, so be sure to take part in the 11th annual Faces Rally. And don't forget Classic Hits 98.9 there on Saturday with the fabulous prize machine as a part of it. The 11th annual Faces Rally this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Upland. When we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Brad Vering, he has wrestled at Howells. He has wrestled for Nebraska. He has wrestled on Olympic and World Championship teams. And he goes into the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association Hall of Fame this week after going into the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame last week. We'll chat with him when we come back.
Hi, Tom Bodette, trying to wrap my head around this internet craze called planking. That's where you go to some unexpected location and lie down on your face and someone takes a picture? I know, hilarious. Anyway, we've been doing that at Motel 6 for 50 years, giving people a place to lie down when they're in some new location, and for the lowest price of any national chain. So come by Motel 6 and save on a good night's plank. I'm Tom Bodette for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Fram filters can take a beating. At the Fram Proving Grounds, they get the pound test, where they're hit with 100 psi of pressure every second for 30,000 seconds. This leads to tough, tested Fram filters, like Fram Extra Guard, built to protect three times better than average economy filters. Don't settle for a cheaper filter. Use Fram Extra Guard. Tested, proven, and pounded into shape at the Fram Proving Grounds. Fram,
don't fail your engine. See us hit our filters with more tests at Fram.com.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Eastern Conference Finals on ESPN Radio. Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and the Celtics get a huge win on the road in Miami.
Paul Pierce with a killer three
in your face.
Now LeBron, D-Wade, and the Heat head to Boston facing elimination.
LeBron, a straightaway three. Oh, yeah. LeBron James.
The Celtics in Heat tonight at 6:30 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see partial sun and some cloudiness affect the area through the day today with a high around 88 with southeast winds increasing to 12 to 25. Tonight's skies stay partly cloudy with a low near 64. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 75.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, Coach Rick Squires and UNK once again putting on their very popular Volley Kids Day Camp. It is June 18th and 19th. It's at Kearney Sunrise Middle School. It's for the youngsters. Grades, if you're entering the second through the fifth grade, the camp is designed to introduce volleyball basics utilizing age-appropriate methods that are both fun and educational. Campers learn to pass, set, serve, maybe a little spiking through the use of modified equipment and techniques to help them get a head start in one of the world's most popular sports. So get into the action with UNK's Volley Kids Day Camp. And for more information, you can contact Coach Squires. His email, squiresr@unk.edu. That's Squires, S-Q-U-I-E-R-S-R at unk.edu, or call 233-0311, 233-0311. Find out more, volleyball page, lopers.com. And it's Monday and or Tuesday, June 18th and 19th. So check that out. French Open going on. NHL continues. Nebraska Danger has announced that head coach Mike Davis will continue his role as head coach for the 2013 as they have re-signed him to a contract today, according to team owner and president Charlie Bosselman. So Davis will enter his third season next year for the Nebraska Danger.
Softball championship ended up last night, Doug. There's some terrible, terrible umpires that apparently the NCAA feels they have to hire. I have no idea why. But seriously, I got to watch some of the regionals.
It was like in a rain delay. Yeah. But they just showed the last strike in that, and I just...
But you watch that regional stuff, and then the strike zone, just no idea. It's just...
Well, they guess. I've been confident about that, about fast pitch softball for years. They just guess.
It's right in front of you.
It's 0-2 in the national championship game in a one-run contest. You think she's throwing you a strike? No. So she throws it a foot outside, and the ump rings him up.
After the girl already took a step out and leveled a girl going to first with a forearm, just an absolute shoulder blast, and they called her out for some reason. Whatever.
Tonight it is the... wrestling action going on in Times Square. You can view it online. All that information is at usawrestling.com. It is the Beat the Streets Gala. Tervell Delognev, Jordan Burroughs among the U.S. Olympians that will be wrestling against Russia. The baseball draft wrapped up yesterday. Nebraskans Travis Huber taken by Minnesota. Cale Kiser, the White Sox. Richard Stock tells Husker Online that he's going to sign with Cleveland. Also, Chad Christensen goes to Miami. Kyrie Cooper.
Out of the blue.
He was picked fifth coming out of high school by the Angels in the fifth round. Decided he wanted to play baseball and football at Nebraska. They talked to him last night. I caught a part of the phone interview on 1011 Sports where I go through the dials. And you know the best thing about that is I can watch Dave Greek and Spencer. I can watch Ed Littler and the crew and Kyle over there. But 1011's always done first, so I can watch that. So that is my disclaimer right there. But I did catch that. Kyrie Cooper.
Is it Tulsa?
25th round by Boston. Well, do you sign with Boston or do you go play football at Tulsa? And Logan Ehlers He says, Detroit? No. He was picked in the 8th round coming out of high school, picked in the 20th round by Detroit, telling the Lincoln Journal Star, quote, being drafted in the 20th round was not what I wanted or expected. So he's going to continue his career at Texas Tech after being at the JUCO down there. And Daniel Lemick, 4-time state high school champ, 4-time first ever Nebraska girls match play champion, defeating both of the Thiel sisters of Wahoo yesterday, winning the final 8-7 at York.
Nothing like playing 11 holes going home.
Zach Taylor of Omaha and Cale Benson of Grand Island competing. We'll get an update for you on that here at the end of the show. On the boys' side, yesterday, Taylor had to go 21 holes to beat Kearney's Tyler Dowling, and Benson won his semifinal match 3-2.
You'd think there's going to be a lot of pars. Those holes got to be split, but apparently Daniel Lemick just dominate 8-7.
The Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Duel is Saturday afternoon, and then the Hall of Fame Banquet starts at 5 o'clock over at Riverside on Saturday. I'll get to be there emceeing this year. I've been to quite a few of these over the past few years, and this year another great class is going in, Daddy. And Brad Vering is going to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, Howell's native, UNL world wrestler. We got a chance to talk to him last year when he was going into the high school Hall of Fame. And Brad, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, it's great to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Brad, well, obviously we asked you last year, when you start getting these phone calls for Hall of Fames, it's special because you know, you're getting recognized for the great things you did on the mat and off the mat as well. But the initial reaction when you get the call is what?
You know, you're just very happy, I guess. It's when you're doing the sport, it's not something that you really think about. But then, you know, you just kind of bust your butt and keep working hard all throughout your career. And, you know, the accolades kind of just come to you naturally rather than you know, you trying to earn them. You're just trying to get that next takedown or score that next point, you know.
Brad, where does the busting your butt, that goes back a lot of years for most people. I think Jordan Burroughs would tell you the same way. And just the work ethic, where does it come from in your family or in your drive to be a champion?
Well, it was instilled in me very young. I grew up in a small farm town, northeast Nebraska, Howells, Nebraska. And you know, it doesn't matter. You can walk down the street in that town and you got the blue-collar people who bust their butt and work hard. Growing up, my dad was a guy who, you know, started really from humble beginnings and worked his way into a successful businessman by just outworking, you know, the other people around him. So it was a perfect example for me, just trying to, you know, especially in wrestling, which is, you know, a lot of people consider a blue-collar sport. So just being able to go out there and do everything that you can and humble yourself and outwork the guy next to you and ultimately your opponents, you know, that stems way back from, you know, working hard as a kid.
Brad Vering joined us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Yesterday on the program, Craig Sesker with USA Wrestling and the mat, and of course he was at the World Herald when you were doing most of your work. We were talking about the excitement. You've got the Beat the Streets Gala going on in New York City. You've got the Olympics just around the corner. Jordan Burroughs, Travell DeLogne gives Nebraskans a lot more interest. So I asked Sesker, I said, talking about Brad Vering, what was the one point in the career that stood out to you for Brad Vering? And he immediately said bringing home the world championship as a team in 07. Where does that rank for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the biggest things for me. You know, I wasn't on a state championship team or an NCAA championship team or anything like that, so I never really won a lot of championships as a team. And so to actually win the biggest one and, you know, the first one in the history for Greco-Roman in the U.S. and us being huge underdogs and you know, a lot of people said that feat could never be done. I mean, I think freestyles maybe won a couple, but, you know, to defeat the Russians And the best thing about that, it was in such a hostile environment. I mean, we were in Baku, Azerbaijan, packed arena. It was the year before the Olympics. I think I had like 72 guys in my weight class. It was absolutely brutal. And all of our guys, the entire year, had just gone through a ton of adversity. And to step up and be able to bring home that big trophy, man, that was a great feeling.
Not only do you represent your country, but then you've got 72 other people you got to beat. I mean, when you saw that, format, were you like, "What in the hell is this?"
No way, man. You just look at it and you say, "Hey, this is what I expected." The way we trained that year was that we tried to get just down and dirty and figure out, you know, how we knew it was going to be an extremely tough World Championships before the Olympics, and that everybody was going to send their A-team type guys because it was a qualifier for the Olympic Games going into Beijing. So we knew it was just going to be just a dirty tournament. It ended up being like that, and that's what made it great. You know, that was the best part. I think I broke my nose, I tore some cartilage in my ribs. I mean, I just, six matches, and they were hell for sure. But you know, ultimately at the end, it was a great experience. It's one of those things that kind of define you as not only an athlete but as a person, because you just got to keep getting up, and you're like, geez, now I got to wrestle the world bronze medalist. Now I got to wrestle the guy who was the silver medalist last year. Okay, now I got to wrestle the guy who's won three world medals. It was brutal, but man, that's what makes it great, and ultimately that's what makes the story awesome.
Brad Varings with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, going into the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that earlier. I'm still trying to digest how he was at Howells and didn't win a state championship in anything, because that's the beginning of the of the Howells dynasty. But four world teams, two Olympic teams. The Olympics are coming up, Brad. When we say Olympics, what does it mean to you?
You know, it brings back a lot of great memories, a lot of pride. It's unbelievable to be able to go out and represent your country. Definitely some heartbreak for me a little bit, because I really felt like I was at the best I was ever going to be going into the 2008 games, and felt a little bit short, but you know what? We've got a phenomenal team going into this year, and it's going to be really fun to watch them compete.
Now, I didn't go out and count these countries. I didn't go back over your profile that thoroughly. But it says you've been in 35 countries around the globe on the mat. Wrestling, that's one thing Travell talks about. Jordan Burroughs, I think, will tell you where wrestling took them.
Gardner.
148-2 in high school. When you left high school, did you ever think that wrestling could take you and show you the world like it did?
Well, yeah, I never really thought about that, but I had had some success in high school on the junior national level and wrestling up at Fargo, and that was the big tournament back in the day. And so that was when, I remember in 1996, I was getting ready to wrestle in the junior national, which is, you know, high school age national tournament, and I was watching the Olympics as I was preparing for it, and I see this 19-year-old, who was like the same age as me, Vovakir Sofiev, from Russia, winning the Olympics. And so, as you can imagine, I was pretty motivated at that point, going, here I am trying to win the juniors in our country, and this guy's winning the Olympics. And so, it was definitely something that was enlightening for me, and I knew that I was going to have to go the college route and you know, kind of work my way up the ladder. But ultimately, you know, you just keep your nose to the grindstone and keep working hard, and you can achieve your dreams. You just got to really love what you're doing. It's, you know, you can outwork the guys who are talented. You can outlast those guys because you know, you just stay in there and you keep working hard every day, and that ultimately moves you in front of them.
Brad Varing with us for just a couple more minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Brad, if I could hand you an all-expenses-paid ticket to any place you have ever been with wrestling, what's the destination that you would immediately put on that ticket?
Oh, man, I don't know. All the places I've been to with wrestling. Let me tell you something. I've been to a lot of Eastern Bloc countries and Cuba. It's not the most beautiful places in the world right now. I mean, the nice thing about it is they love their wrestling. The one thing I never got to go to, like Italy or Spain or any of those countries that a lot of people go on vacation to. So, to tell you the truth, I don't know for sure. I really enjoyed France and enjoyed Paris. But yeah, you know, to tell you the truth, if you're going to buy me a ticket, you could send me up to Canada fishing for a week. That's what I'd like to do.
Daddy will go with you. He's in on that. Brad, most of our talk here has been about your post-college career. A lot of this award has to do with what you did in high school and going to the University of Nebraska. Can you take us back to that high school career? As Daddy mentioned, 148-2, and this is when Howells Bobcat Sports was just starting to become a state power.
That's when 100 wins meant 100 wins. Yeah. And you had...
Yeah, you know... I never really thought about all that stuff. I just was really focused on what I could do and the things that I could control. I guess the thing that really opened my eyes is when I came back after I graduated from Nebraska to do a couple camps in Nebraska for over a few summers, especially in Howells. And, guys, there was 110 kids showed up for the first camp that I did there, and I was like, holy cow, something's going on here. And then I was looking around, and I was like, geez, these seniors are huge. And then the coach would come up to me and be like, yeah, those are junior high kids. And so I kind of was like, wow, there's something that's going to happen here and something that's special. And the thing is, too, that I could go out to Pennsylvania or California or all these different places where, you know, wrestling is huge and do clinics. And half the time it felt like I was babysitting. And when I was in Howells, it was like I had every single kid captured. It didn't matter who was teaching the clinic. They wanted to learn. They wanted to work hard. They were like sponges. They picked everything up. It was unbelievable. It wasn't just the house kids. It was the kids from all over the area, and it was a great experience for me because, like I would always tell the kids, is I was like, this is my favorite place to do camp, not because I'm from here, but because the kids really appreciate it, you know. And that was one of the things for me that really stuck out, and I knew that they were going to be successful.
I know from being around people that are successful and what pushes people's buttons, 148-2. The two losses you probably think about, I'm guessing, as much as you do the wins. Who are they to? Who are they to, Brad?
Nate Camrath from David City in a dual meet. And then I lost in the quarterfinals, I think, at the state tournament to a kid from North Bend. I can't remember his name for sure. But it was, they were heartbreaking. But you know what, man? It's not the wins that define you. Ultimately, it's the losses and how you react to them. I was probably more proud about losing that match in the quarterfinals, coming back and getting third. I remember my brother gave me a big hug and was like, hey, way to fight back after, you know, a devastating loss, you know? So I think those are the things, especially for wrestlers, that when guys, you know, face an adversity like that, can battle back. That's the thing that ultimately defines you, I think.
We may not remember that kid from North Bend's name, but I'll guarantee you whoever that is going, I beat Brad Baring. I beat Brad Baring. Hey, Brad, we'll let you out of here with this. Every time you go into a hall, you have somebody that's going to introduce you. And Kurt Boyaboy, I hope I got that right. Again, it's been a long time since I've thrown Kurt's name out, but he's going to be doing that. Talk about why you chose him.
You know, Kurt has always been a great friend of mine. He was in my wedding a couple years ago, and just always been a huge support for me. You know, we trained together all through high school. It was kind of funny. I was running through some pictures the other day of an old photo album that my mom gave to me, and Kurt was an All-American at the Fargo tournament up in North Dakota, and I was sitting there looking at the guys in his bracket, and I think I counted out of the eight All-Americans, there were like six or seven of them that were multiple NCAA champions. Or not champions, but All-Americans. And then one of them was Cale Sanderson, and he didn't even win the tournament. So it was unbelievable. You know, Kurt really was a phenomenal athlete, and he just was always a guy that pushed me. And I really always appreciated not only being able to train with him and play football with him and hang out with him, but just being a good friend of mine.
Brad, before we let you go, tell the folks what you're up to now and where you live.
Yeah, I'm in Colorado Springs. My wife, Candace, and I just had a baby that's 6 months old now, a little girl named Maya, and I work in the medical devices industry.
And they have a pet rabbit.
Oh, no, Larry just passed away, man.
See, you always got to end it on a bad note.
Oh, come on. Hey, thanks for bringing that up. It was, to tell you the truth, if my wife hadn't had the baby, that would have been a lot worse. Let me tell you.
Well, Brad, we appreciate you giving us time. We'll see you in Grand Island on Saturday. And again, congratulations on the award.
Sounds good, guys. Looking forward to it. Take care.
You bet, Brad. Brad Baring joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, going into the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association Hall of Fame Saturday. That's at Riverside, along with many others. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Jason Fink is going to join us, Ralston Wrestling Coach, tomorrow, because earlier on Saturday, 1 o'clock at Senior High, the Coaches Association All-Star Duel will be held. He'll give us a preview on that. So a big day Saturday for wrestling in the state of Nebraska over in Grand Island. And good time should be had there. Also, The Shrine Soccer Classic coming up on Saturday. And don't forget, Friday and Saturday, the New West All-Star Classic benefiting the Nebraska Kidney Association, brought to you in part by not only New West, but ESPN Radio and Misco Sports. It is the Southwest, Lou Platte, Fort Kearney, and Twin Valley Conferences. They're playing the volleyball games on Friday. Starts at 4 with the Southwest and Lou Platte, followed by the Fort Kearney and Twin Valley. And then those are the best of five. Then the champions will play a best of three to wrap things up on Friday. Saturday, they'll start at 12 noon at C.L. Jones Gymnasium in Minden with the Southwest and Lou Platte Conference All-Star Games. Girls at 12, followed by the boys, and then the Fort Kearney and Twin Valley All-Star Basketball Games Saturday afternoon. And that's all coming up for the New West All-Star Classic benefiting the Nebraska Kidney Association. I'll be down there on Friday and Saturday afternoon and hope to see the folks there. Don't forget, a couple of more sets of Danger tickets are going to be on our Facebook page later today or tomorrow morning, depending on what our producer Jeffrey wants to do. And we have got a full show again for you tomorrow. As we said, Ralston wrestling coach Jason Fink is going to join us. Of course, we have our Belmont preview. You can hear it live here Saturday afternoon. All have another the 4 to 5 morning line favorite. And Gino Bacola will rejoin us from the TVG network. That's the horse he wants to see. Doug O'Neill and the whole crew trying to win the Triple Crown. Also, we'll talk with Tom Dienhart of the Big Ten Network. Their senior analyst will join us tomorrow, and we'll get his impressions on Nebraska's first year in the Big Ten Conference. I want to thank all the fine folks that joined us today on the show, including Brad Baring, Jordan Rinaldi, who's going to be an RFA3 in Kearney at the end of the month, as well as Ben Love of TigerAg.com to talk LSU baseball, and Jeff Dittman stepping down as the Hastings College women's basketball coach to take the women's job and be the athletic director back at Dakota State. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game on!